Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Flophouse. That's right, it's time for another Flophouse miniature, or as we say, Flophouse mini, brought to you by...
Whoa, stop throwing so much jargon at me, buddy.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Let's introduce ourselves before I get into too much more biz terms, because we will get into biz terms. My name is Elliot Kalin, and tonight I'll be at the driver's wheel, and with me are these two fellows. Say your names, guys.
I'm Dan McCoy.
And I'm Stuart Wellington.
Yep, Dan McCoy and Stuart Wellington.
Has there ever been a superhero named Layman or Layman?
I don't know. What like, would his power be to explaining
maybe like
things?
The Lay's Potato Company.
Maybe he's a big fan of the movies of Mike Lay or Mike Lee.
He doesn't know how to pronounce it. That's his power.
Yep.
He can say it both
this
ways.
It's a movie podcast, right?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing us home.
So normally,
the bases.
Normally, this is a movie podcast where we watch a bad movie and then we talk about it. We don't watch the bad movie during the podcast, but beforehand, and you're just there for the talking about. But it's a mini episode, which means we can do whatever the F we want.
Oh,
and that F stands for...
No rules.
That F stands for famous. Because that's right, guys. Earlier this week, the Oscar nominations came out.
Allow that segue.
It's Hollywood's biggest honor. And that's first, before I get into our let's call it a game, although it's really more of a concept that will annoy you. Before we get into that...
Do you want to play a little concept?
A funny
you
sort
play
of
a good
concept.
Concept, boy.
The only way to win is not to play.
First, I want to give a little Flophouse shout-out to two former co-workers of Dan and myself who were nominated for Academy Awards just this past week. That's right. One, Jenna Friedman, was nominated as one of the writers for Best Adapted Screenplay for Borat's subsequent movie film, and another former co-worker of ours, Trayvon Free, was nominated for the live-action short Two Distant Strangers. So, former Daily Show co-workers really making it happen. Dan, how many major industry
Flophouse
awards were you nominated for this
drop,
year?
Drop. What, sorry?
Sometimes I drop names nobody's heard of but our other co-workers. Dan, how many major industry awards were you nominated for this year? Because my answer is zero for me.
I was nominated for an Emmy the past year. I mean,
2021, you know. Dan. 2021.
Oh, wow.
What? I mean, like, whatever the past Emmy was, the last one, I wasn't nominated this year, no. But that's not
so
how
the answer is also
works.
Zero. So that's zero
they
for both of us.
Been
Stuart.
Nominated yet.
So, Stuart, okay. And how many
sure,
industry
right.
awards
zero.
In your industry were you nominated for?
I just got nominated for a Grammy.
Oh, wow.
For Best Grandma?
For Best Grandma. That was the thing. Everybody counted me out. But you know what? I was still nominated.
Yeah.
That's as long as I could shove it in the face of my haters, that's all I care about.
I mean,
Bill
I'm still,
hater particularly.
I still want to see, you know, like evidence that you have, first of all, a child, and then secondly, a grandchild. But
wow, you're just naming things that you think would hold me back from taking the title.
I know.
But you know what? When
you're
I got
undeniable.
My eyes on that bag.
Yep.
This now, was just I'll, your I'll, year. Now, it turns out all you really need to be nominated for that Grammy is just the mug that says World's Greatest Grandma, just a picture of you holding it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the Oscar nominations, it's Hollywood. The Oscars are going to be Hollywood's glamorousest night, possibly. It's the one of the few awards that people care about because, let me tell you, my Writers Guild Awards are not burning up. I can't get a table in a restaurant with them even before the pandemic. But here's the thing. In the entertainment biz, we don't have time to say whole words. That's why we say biz instead of business, and why we say TV instead of capitalist inequality distractor unit. So we also say noms instead of nominations. So this week, the Oscar noms came out, and that's why I'm starting a new annual tradition that I'm calling Flophouse Presents Oscar Nom Noms, where we figuratively chew over the Oscar nominations while also talking about what we would literally chew over if the Oscar-nominated movies were food. So, Dan and Stu, let's talk about first any general thoughts about this year's Oscar Noms, and then what would you eat as Oscar Nom Noms? And they have to be tied to the movie. I can give you some suggestions or examples.
Oh, okay. Before we get too far, I was wondering whether you were going to suggest that we call this the Sylvester Stallone Farce Spectacular Just because last year we faked people out with our Oscar episode, and a lot of people were very angry. They actually wanted us to talk about the Oscars instead.
They wanted us to talk about these awards that everyone pretty much agrees are crazy in different ways, whether you think that they're not accurate, whether you think it's a strange idea to pit creative expressions against each other in a form of competition, or whether you're just envious that you didn't get one. And meanwhile, Inarritu's got two back to back. I mean, so people wanted to hear us talk about that, but instead they got the our conversation about the Sylvester Stallone box office, let's say disappointment, Oscar. His attempt at a screwball comedy set in the 30s, was it? So this year,
I mean,
it's actually
such a natural fit for Sly Stallone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does have a great line in it where he goes, "Yeah, reading is my passion."
I mean, it's just tough because people went and saw it and they were hoping for Johnny Dangerously 2 and they didn't get it.
No.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, guys, I'll start you off. Why don't I start this? Recently just finished watching one of the Oscar Best Picture nominees, The Trial of the Chicago 7, which I found to be, to me, it's kind of the King's Speech of this year. It's kind of the movie where you're like, all right, okay, yeah. I guess that's like a textbook definition of like a movie that I guess my dad would watch and be like, really, it would make a big impression on him. And while I'm watching it, I think maybe I'll dip into this Trial of the Chicago 7 layer dip. The secret is there's actually 8 layers, but one of them disappears halfway through while you're eating it. It just disappears because it's not really that important to the plot, it turns out.
Okay, okay.
So that's the Trial of the Chicago 7 layer dip. Another surprise nominee for Best Picture, Promising Young Woman, a very controversial movie. And while I'm watching it, I guess I'm snacking down on some Promising Young Cumin. I don't know what it is, but it's full of cumin, and it leaves kind of a bitter aftertaste in your mouth.
So it's specific. Well, I mean, all right, specifically young cumin.
Dan, I'm not a cumin ageist, but if you want to be for the title, go ahead. It has to be Promising Cumin. It has to be cumin with potential. You know, can't just be your bottom feeder Cuban or cumin, not Cuban. Actually, I should have made it Promising Young Cuban, and it's a sandwich. I love Cuban sandwiches.
That would have been better, but it's too late. You already said the first one.
Oh, that's too late. Can we wait? Can I use Dr. Doom's time machine to go back and erase the first one? Dan, can I do that?
Dan, can he use Dr. Doom's time machine to erase the first one?
Can he? I would say probably not.
Okay.
I mean,
fair.
Not even a definite answer.
No. I mean, he may use it. I will allow it, but I don't think that he can. As a point of actual, like, a thing that could happen in this reality.
Okay, so guys, before I go back to some more of my Best Picture dishes, do you have any thoughts, any positive surprises? I know, Stuart, there was a particular acting nomination that you were very excited about that you were texting me about.
I was very excited for Paul Raci being nominated. Is that how you pronounce his last name? I don't know.
Probably. Or Reiki. He invented Reiki massage. So, you know.
Oh, no kidding. Even though it's spelled differently than that, but that's okay.
Yes, and predates him. Yeah.
Yeah. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Sound of Metal, which I think I recommended on the podcast, and I think is a good, it's a good, fun old movie, and he has...
What about fun?
And he has a quite, like, he definitely has a star turn as this, I guess, counselor in a, for a home to help the lead character, Ruben, not just come to terms with his deafness, but also kind of his other addictive personality, you know, his bad habits. And I think for that, I would say... I would want to tuck into a mound of, oh man, Fruity Pebbles.
Okay.
A mound of Fruity Pebbles.
I was expecting you to say mound of Melba. Let me tell you, that guy's hearing is toast. Insensitive. It's an insensitive joke.
It's very such.
It didn't really happen to him, Dan. It's a fictional character. It's a
fictional character. Okay.
For me, there were a number of positive surprises this year. I think the people watching most of the movies over streaming, as people mentioned, and not being able to be wined and dined by the studios in person,
yeah,
helped mm-hmm. some smaller movies come along. I was very disappointed to see that Delroy Lindo was not nominated for yeah. Defy Bloods.
Yeah.
So I thought he was spectacular in that. But I was the strangest thing was that a Flophouse movie was nominated, which was Hillbilly Elegy, for a number of awards, when uh-huh. it was nominated for makeup and hairstyling, even though it's definitely going to lose to Mank for transforming Gary Oldman into a man in his 30s
oh,
so
boy.
Seamlessly that it it just couldn't be told. It's just going to be seen, man. You know?
Someone yanked his Mank.
Hey, guys.
Crank.
Okay.
Sorry.
This is a section. This is a section.
Yanked it.
Now this is a section of Oscar nom noms that I'm calling Mankashevitz, where this Jewish guy is going to talk about Mank for a couple minutes the thing with Mank is it got more Oscar nominations than any other movie this year, which you have to assume because it's a movie about Hollywood that it's going to do. But it was still surprising to me because I found that movie just not what I expected it to be from what everyone was talking about it. Now, I've talked a lot about Mank on this podcast, mainly my inability to get over the fact that Gary Oldman is playing a young man when he is very clearly an old man. And I don't know, what do you guys think? Has it made you rethink Mank?
It's taken Oscar gold to the Mank bank, it seems like. I want to say, here's the thing. The one nomination that I do not argue with, I liked Amanda Seyfried quite a lot in Mank. I thought she hit exactly the right sort of note of this woman who is like an ultimate sort of insider playing the game, in that she is like an actress who has married this wealthy man, but she's also like the other character along with Mank, who like sort of sees themselves a little bit outside of everything, like pulling a grift on Hollywood and can sort of see the system clearly, and I thought she was pretty good. So I guess my nom nom for Mank is some Mank flank steak.
Yeah, and I, you know,
all right. Are you even trying, Dan? Hold on, Stuart. I hate to interrupt,
pretty,
Dan.
That is not bad.
It's not Mankashevitz. To be honest,
I don't know.
To be honest, I did. It's Mankashevitz because it's a sweet tasting at first and goes down smooth, but it's strangely unsatisfying. And honestly, you're only going to break it out on special occasions.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah,
but Dan,
so,
to be fair, I also had time earlier today to think about this because I came up with this concept.
Yeah.
So it's fair.
This is actually Elliot's revenge on me for forgetting to send him the letters questions.
Okay, and Stu, what were you going to say about Mank?
Well, we're talking about Mank. So, guys, I haven't seen Mank, but from everything I've heard, nobody involved with the movie was, pulling a prank. They weren't just having a wank. And, you know,
I mean,
I don't
the
have
movie
much
is kind of the
it,
ultimate
so my...
wank, to be honest.
Yeah,
it is kind of a wank. But what were you going to say, Stu? I interrupted you.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I'd say my mind is blank.
Look at Stu just freestyling
on
Mank over
here. As if I just smoked some dank.
Did it. Keeps doing it. Pulls it out every time.
But, so... I mean, to be... wank is actually the perfect word to describe it, because it is kind of like... it is kind of like a masturbation movie for a certain type of person.
Yeah, that would be the Mad Magazine parody, right?
Well, the Mad Magazine parody, I don't know if they use the word wank in Mad Magazine. It would be like menschk or something like that, you know?
Oh, okay.
Again, or they would want to use Mankashevitz, I don't know. Now, guys, there's still a bunch of movies that I haven't seen that were nominated this year. I did recently watch Nomadland. And I really liked that a lot, and I was excited to see the director of that nominated. And also, you know, one of my favorite actresses, Frankie McDormand. And I think for that one, I'd probably have a Nomad Land Yap, just a little extra piece of candy or pastry at the end of the movie that you can have while you're spending the night in your van, you know, just to keep you warm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This Oscar ceremony is going to be all virtual, right?
Yes, it's going to be hosted by Russell Crowe's character from Virtuosity and co-hosted by the Lawnmower Man.
Oh, no, he's like made up of a bunch of serial killer profiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
like
not a good
idea.
That's not good. Oh, boy.
what a dumb movie.
But so if it's virtual, does Frances McDormand still have to look super annoyed to have to be there?
She's going to be sitting at her house looking super annoyed. Yeah, yeah. It was also exciting to see Maria Bakalova nominated for Borat. I thought she was really good in that.
Oh, yeah, she's great in that.
And, of course, she's up against Olivia Colman, though, and I haven't seen The Father, but I will always vote for Olivia Colman in anything. Mm-hmm. So I get
eat some Coleman's mustard with that, or what?
I was going to call it Coleman's Law. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you take Olivia Colman, mm-hmm. shred her up, add some mayonnaise.
don't. She's one of our
Yeah, I
treasures.
Remember when Hot Fuzz.
She's a global treasure.
I remember when Hot Fuzz came out. You rented that. You put up that billboard in Hollywood that said Olivia Colman for Best Supporting Actress and camped out in front of it, right?
I mean, to be fair, I put up a billboard when she was in that Number Wang sketch on Mitchell and Webb that said Olivia Colman for Best Supporting Actress, and the Academy had to explain to me it was not a movie. So,
oh, yeah.
Not even a full show, just a segment.
Just the sketch. But Dan, does it make you guys feel good that that Glenn Close was nominated for a Hillbilly Elegy for her role of Terminator loving grandma?
I mean, I will.
Is that going to be the scene? You think is that going to be the scene they play for her character?
It has to
when
be.
Brad
or it's going to be
Pitt
one of the half
to say mama out loud.
It's going to be one of the half dozen scenes where she's yelling at somebody.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I maintain that that is a script and direction problem. I think that, you know. Glenn Close,
oh, certainly,
obviously,
certainly, yeah.
A great actor who, if you take any one scene out, you'd be like, oh, yeah, looks like she's pretty good in Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize that she's been directed to do every scene at the same level.
But, yeah. And our nom nom for that will, of course, be a Huckleberry Elegy. That's a Huckleberry pie that you serve on a coffin.
Now, do you think when Glenn Close agreed to do that movie and she heard the character's name was Mama, she was like, oh, am I playing, is this like the sequel to the Carl Urban Dread movie where Lena Headey played the character Mama? What do you think, guys?
I think she thought it was the movie, it was the film adaptation of Mama's Family, the sitcom,
oh, okay.
which she loves. She's always wanted to be in it.
I mean, it was kind of, I remember seeing it a lot. I don't remember very much about that show.
See,
Mama had a family, but I might be thinking of the Hogan family. Were they called Hogan on Mama's Family?
I assumed that she thought she was teaming up with Octavia Spencer, and they were both different moms working together.
Oh, I see.
Oh, man.
What else?
Yeah, yeah.
What
or
else?
she was playing Yo-Yo Ma's mother in the movie.
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah. Now, but then it would be called Mazma.
Can't argue with that logic, I suppose.
Now, guys,
be a waste
guys,
of time for both of us.
Of course. Well, the whole episode is pretty much. Now, I haven't seen Judas and the Black Messiah yet. I'm really excited to watch it, but I want to try to watch it all the way through in one sitting, which makes it difficult for me to get to.
And
it also
went off of HBO Max like a couple days before the Oscars announcement.
Yeah, which was foolish. I mean, I have a screener from the Writers Guild, but I'm, you know,
oh,
this is. But of course,
man.
For that I am going to cook
Elliot's
up a
flexing out here.
Mm-hmm, my union membership, but for that I'm of course going to cook up a classic Judas and the Black Shakshuka. That's of course tomatoes, onions, peppers, spices, and eggs. It's a classic kind of Middle Eastern dish. I think it'll go great with Judas and the Black Messiah. Again, I don't know what it's about.
I love shakshuka. By the way,
shakshuka is great.
I made it. I watched about half of Judas and the Black Messiah, and it was a little dry for my taste, unlike this shakshuka I keep hearing about.
Oh, which will be it's just going to drip out of your mouth.
Eggs
yeah.
poached in a nice tomato sauce. What could be less dry than that?
But David Kalia is incredible in it. I mean, like, I'll watch that dude do anything.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing the acting in it. Now, of course. Every now and then you get a movie that nobody's heard of that gets nominated for a ton of Oscars. What was the movie that was nominated this year where you were like, huh, I don't know that one. That's a movie?
The Father, I think, is the one, because I was like, I thought, okay, I am at home. Like, surely most of these are available on streaming, knowing the year that we've had. Like, maybe I'll try and run through them all, so I was extra disappointed to hear now that I missed Judas and the Black Messiah on HBO Max. But The Father, I looked up, I guess it's in theaters. It's not available for streaming. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's coronavirus released it to trick old people into leaving their homes.
I think just like the hit Al Pacino classic, Sim 1, or Simone, in which he creates a fake actress, I kind of think The Father might not be a real movie, but instead is like it's was just created for awards. They were like, hey, look, we can win some awards without making a movie. It's coronavirus time. No one's going to go out to the theater to see this.
I'm just imagining someone like photoshopping Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman together and like someone else walking by and be like, great, put it out for the Oscars. Like, this is not actually, this is for my own use, sir.
This is my slash fiction. Well, it's not, you know, it's my Olivia Colman, Anthony Hopkins stan fiction, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is this movie?
It's a movie about a father. Anthony Hopkins plays a father who's dealing with dementia. Mm. That's all I know about it.
Well, I mean, I probably could have guessed that from the fact that it was named The Father and nominated for an Oscar. Not to be glib about, like,
I mean, he could have been
things,
playing a...
but it's that type of movie.
I assumed
that
he was,
would...
like, a priest or something.
Yeah, oh, I assumed that he was a priest.
That's a good...
What if it was called The Father, and it was about a father dealing with dementia, but the father was Darth Vader, and Anthony Hopkins is playing an elderly Darth Vader? Dan?
What about Elliot's bit, Dan?
Sorry, do you want me to fund it? I don't
know. No, thanks. Thanks for just leaving me my dick hanging out here, Dan.
I apologize. I got too
appreciate
hung up
it.
Oh, looking
man.
Up the father.
Elliot's dick's just out.
Yeah.
Okay, now guys, we all know the big one that everyone's going to be talking about. Documentary feature. So, I know, Dan, you're a big doc head. You've seen all the documentaries this year. Which one do you think is going to win?
I'm going to say My Octopus Teacher because it's the only one I've heard of.
Ooh, I think it's going to be Time. I think My Octopus Teacher is going to... I think people are not ready yet for a movie about a guy who has sex with an octopus. I have not seen it yet. So I think... I don't really know what it's about. I think Time is going to...
Is one that is like a bunch of old sort of home movies?
Some of it is. It's the one about the family where the husband is in prison.
Yes. I saw that in like... David Ehrlich's, top 10 of the year video essay, which, you know, really beautifully edited. And I'm like, wow, this looks cool.
Yeah, I would like to see it, actually. I haven't watched it yet. My Octopus Teacher, again, it's I was making a joke that the guy has sex with the octopus. It really doesn't. It's about, so this octopus gets hired as a teacher. They think it's a guy named Mr. Otto-puss. It turns out to be an octopus, but he teaches everyone a lesson about poetry and standing up for yourself.
Against starfish.
Yep. Hey, folks, it's me, James Arthur M., host of Minority Corner, your home through these wild times for weekly doses of pop culture, history, news, nerdy stuff, and more through a BIPOC queer and allied lens.
Y'all, we have been in a panorama for a whole year.
The Ponder replay has been going... We've been a Ponderosa for a year.
Wonder Woman doesn't even get to fly her own invisible jet. That was another thing. I was like, this is your jet.
Think about the war on drugs. We must think of it as a war on black and brown and poor people to only uphold the caste system of America. So join me and some of your new BFFs every Friday here on Maximum Fun to stay informed, empowered, and have some fun. Minority Corner, because together we're the majority.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we host After Game Show, a podcast where listeners submit games and we play them regardless of quality with a dozen listeners from around the world.
We've had folks call in from as far as Sweden, South Africa, and the Philippines.
Here's an example. Yesterdog, where players must sing a Beatles song but throw in the word dog and dog-related terms. Like, do you have an example, Manolo?
Yeah. Hey, dog. Dog, 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 bone.
Oh, okay. Dr. Game Show has new episodes every other Wednesday on Maximum Fun. Check us out.
Check us out.
Nice.
Hey, everybody. Dan McCoy, all alone, jumping in to tell you about HelloFresh. HelloFresh? HelloFresh? America's number one meal kit. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients, and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. That's right, in a box. All the ingredients you need delivered right to your door. A convenience at all times, but right now, amazing. Hey, HelloFresh. Hey, hello, listener. Hi, how are you? Let me tell you about HelloFresh. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. With 25 plus recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. To ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Simplicity? Guys, I'll stop trying to enunciate words and tell you my personal experience with HelloFresh. Sometimes the people who are kind enough to advertise with us are also kind enough to send us samples so that we know that what we are telling you is good is actually good. And it is good, guys. I like cooking. So sometimes in the past, I've like, I don't need a meal thing to be sent to my door. But these recipes are all super tasty. They're like very, you know, like interesting, sophisticated choices. I had the calorie counter stuff. It tasted delicious. I like HelloFresh. I'm not afraid to say it. What was that voice? Go to HelloFresh.com/flop12 and use code flop12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/flop12 and use code flop12 for 12 free meals. Now, back to the Flophouse Mini, already in progress.
Let's see, what other things? This is one of those years I feel like I'm so cut off from the outside world that even like the songs in the song category, I don't know most of, I don't know that I've heard any of them, you know?
It doesn't, and Pixar has two movies nominated for Best Animated Feature, right?
It has Soul and Onward,
right?
That's right. I have seen the first half of Onward, and I've seen the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes of Soul. That's what watching movies with a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old is like. The 2-year-old is constantly running out of the room. From what I saw, though, I think the one that I liked the most was honestly Shaun the Sheep Farmageddon, which I got to watch almost all of with my son. And it's hard to go wrong with those. But I know Jesse Thorne of Maximum Fun is a big fan of Wolfwalkers, which was nominated. And then there's Over the Moon, know what it is.
That's Apple Plus.
Yeah, it's Apple Plus, which is why I haven't seen it.
I think Apple Plus is like the one streaming service I don't have. You know, of course I have Shudder. Has anything been nominated that's on Shudder, guys?
Not that I was. I mean, Promising Young Woman, there's a world where that could have been on Shudder. You know,
theoretically,
it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys got any snubs and flubs, you know?
I mean, the big thing is I keep hearing
there's... I mean, obviously, there's in Best Supporting Actor, there's a pretty obvious one. Everybody's talking about it. It's a small role, but it's pretty definitive. It's Stuart Wellington as Tube Man in the movie Psycho Gorman.
I mean, it's
rare that they nominate actors who are in just one scene, just their voice. But you know, if you can win a supporting actress award for network for one scene, then maybe you could.
An official rule that says you have to say more than one word, but I think that it's
true.
Kind of an unwritten rule. But
Beatrice Straight, they let
a fucking dog play basketball in movies. They can let me win an award.
That's a good point. There's nothing in the rule book. And if a guy can win best actor for lip syncing, why can't you win best actor for just having a voice and no face?
That's the thing. Nothing will make me laugh harder in an Oscars show than when for Rami Malek's performance, they just showed him lip syncing. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah. I know that in our household, there's a little disappointment that The Invisible Man got nothing, which I know in a normal year might be kind of more of a long shot thing, but... I thought it was
Longshot is in it from the X-Men?
It's another, like, you know, you've got Promising Young Woman in there, which is also kind of a, genre movie, well, movie wearing genre garb, although less than The Invisible Man, dealing with issues.
I would actually bet that The Invisible Man is wearing less clothes. Because he wouldn't be invisible. Yeah, good point.
You'd be surprised, Elliot. You'd be surprised. See the movie.
Okay, I mean, it's less scary when you just see a pair of tidy whiteys floating around. You know where he is, and it's just kind of silly. Mm-hmm. And
but, you know, like similar themes using sort of like genre trappings to talk about problems, violence against women. And The Invisible Man was terrific, and Elizabeth Moss has been on a hot streak of good stuff. So that's one that jumped out, maybe.
Hmm. I mean, for me, like I mentioned, the Delroy Lindo and just Defied Bloods in general, not receiving too much. It got like Score and a couple other ones, but that was a movie that I really liked a lot, even though it was kind of like many Spike Lee movies. It was there were aspects of it that I liked more than other aspects of it, but I just thought that performance was really good. And of course, I'd probably serve for that a Delroy Len Yap. Again, it's the same thing I did for Nomadland, but it would be a different Len Yap. Maybe that one would be like a beignet, and this one would be like a licorice twist, you know, or a a peppermint, you know, something just to give you a little bit of a good taste in your mouth on the way out of the theater, because it's such a rough movie, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I mean, I like that. I feel one of the things I like about Defy Bloods is just how it feels like Spike Lee got to do as much as he wanted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And you know, parts of it I don't like, or it's not that I didn't like it. It was just, it felt a little shaggy. But no, yeah, it was great. Now you guys have the list in front of you. Which cast members from One Night in Miami were nominated?
So from One Night in Miami, they nominated.
I know Leslie Odom Jr. was nominated, and he's great in that.
I think he's the only cast member nominated.
Yeah, looks like he's the only one.
Just Leslie Odom Jr.
He's got there's an original song for One Night in Miami, Speak Now.
And he's great. And it's crazy how he actually re-recorded Sam Cooke songs for that movie, which is awesome.
And I'm looking forward to when the sequel One Night in Bangkok comes out, which is about the making of the play Chess. It all takes place at the world premiere performance of Chess. And it's going to be dealing with totally different issues, probably chess issues.
And people are so into fucking Queen's Gambit right now. I mean, of course.
Chess is huge right now. It's finally time for me to pitch my reboot of Searching for Bobby Fischer. Now here's the thing. Okay. They're searching for Bobby Fischer. And the way they find him is because of an elaborate game hidden within a virtual world. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's Ready Player One meets chess instead of video games. And also, instead of being stuffed with references to the 1980s, which is lame, it's stuffed with references to 2018. That's right. Nostalgia is 2 years old, 2.5, you could say. And people are going to love it because they still remember all that stuff. And you get the young people in because they're already nostalgic for life pre-COVID. It's called... I think I told you it's called already. It's called One Night in Bangkok. But anyway.
I'm going to interrupt Elliot because that pitch was dog shit. I'm going to pitch you something better.
Okay.
My pitch is we're going to combine Searching for Bobby Fischer and Looking for Mr. Goodbar. You find Bobby Fischer, you realize he's also Mr. Goodbar.
He murders. Okay, so you finally find Bobby Fischer, he murders you because he is a mentally unbalanced person, and he does think you're part of the global Zionist conspiracy that is out to get him for chess playing. So, yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about either of these pitches. You are right, though. Chess is very big right now. I remember recently in a park, I saw these chess pieces that were like huge. They were like big chess pieces, like a people could be on this chessboard.
I wish that listeners at home could see Dan's face as he tries to sell this bit.
I'm trying to break Elliot down through the intensity of my trying.
No, and you almost did it, but instead you made me think of another reboot. It's called Searching for Bobby Fischer King. That's right. Bobby Fischer is a knight who's trying to find the Holy Grail, and he's got to get past these big chess pieces that are in Central Park. It's sort of an urban fantasia, if you will, in which I mean that it's the movie Fantasia, but it's set in a city. So like alligators and hippos
cool
are dancing
world
in a city. You got, yeah, I guess it's Cool World now that I think about it. Yeah. Okay. So they made it already. It's called Cool World. Anyway.
What if it's,
How about this? Okay.
Oh,
the Cool World, according to Garp. Is that something?
That Dan, I think that's something. What do you think?
Okay, what were you going to say, Dan?
I was going to pitch my movie, Searching for Bobby Fischer Stevens, where Fischer Stevens thinks that Bobby Kennedy is still alive, and he's searching for him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's pretty good. That's better than this animated wrestling movie that Elliot just pitched.
I guess so. I guess that's true. And it's also better than Searching for Bobby Fischer Price. It's just a toy that got lost, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy, guys. That was a lot of laughing.
So that's Oscar Nom Noms 2021. I think we learned a lot about food. We learned a lot about life, love, the awards season. So now it's time for your predictions. Guys, what's going to win the Oscar next year in 2022? Now, most of these movies have not been released. Maybe they don't exist yet. What's going to win Best Picture in 2022? We have to have our predictions right now.
Does the Snyder Cut does that count as 2021, 22?
I don't know that it's actually going to play 2019? In any theaters. It has to play in a theater before its television release. So the Snyder Cut may be disqualified.
People are loving it. 4 hours.
4 hours of just heroes hitting each other over the head with urinals. I'll be there. Yeah. I'll see it. I think my guess is for 2022, it's going to be so people are going to be back in the theaters. They're going to be, and the Academy voters are going to be wined and dined again. So it's going to be the return of the kind of big, dumb Hollywood movies that historically have won, but this year didn't have a chance. So I think the one that's going to be nominated is going to be called, and win the Oscar, I think is going to be called Millard.
Millard, okay.
Inspiring true story of Millard Fillmore, except what they're going to do is they're going to update it. They set it now. And also, instead of becoming
just to clarify, that is a world where Mallard Fillmore is a human and not a duck, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I should have made that clear. Yes. it's an adaptation of Mallard Fillmore, but they make him a person instead of a duck. He still lives in a tree. He's still a newspaper reporter.
Shu. You're thinking of Shu. He's the one where they're reporters. Mallard Fillmore is, I think he,
Mallard Fillmore also wears a press hat.
I think he's also a reporter, but they don't live in the reporters. Tree like the Shu. Anyway, whatever. Like, it's just a strip that's Republican talking points without a joke.
They're both prequels to the return of Howard the Duck to the MCU. That's what it really comes down to. Yeah. So. What is it about ducks and reporting? Why are they drawn to journalism? Yeah.
I don't.
And Dan, any guesses on big Oscar winners of next year?
I'm gonna put it all on number 39.
Oh wow!
Okay, wow. Well, I guess we won't find out till next year if that was a smart bet or not.
Yeah.
Excuse me, fellows. I would like to make a prediction of my own, please.
I wonder what movie might you be interested in, sir?
I was hoping one of you would introduce me to the audience, but apparently I have to do it myself.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tom Brokaw. Thank you so much for coming out here. I saw you popped up on the Zoom because you're still following COVID protocols. Yes. And I see that your name down there. It says Tom Dune Expert Brokaw. That's interesting.
I legally changed my middle name to Dune Expert.
Merely for Zoom reasons.
I now go by T Dune Expert Brokaw. And you'll think I have an idea what might win the Oscar next year. There's a big movie. Yes, it was released on HBO Max, but day and date with the theaters. Very heavily looked forward to, about a certain Maude Deeb who enters a strange world, a strange world in which they have to learn to survive and also learn to form alliances to deal with the larger problem of resource scarcity. And that movie is Tom and Jerry. Now, Maude Deeb technically means desert mouse, so I'm referring to Jerry in this case.
Wow.
But I found that Tom and Jerry really was a star-studded film that I had always wanted to see. And unfortunately, there's nothing else coming out this year that I think could really compete with it for the Oscars next year.
Wow. And wait, Tom Brokaw just left? He closed his browser? Wow.
He left the meeting room.
What a great improv technique, Stuart, for when you're tired and you want the episode to be over. Oh, it seems like all the characters have left the room. Well,
Zoom improv equivalent of what's that? I'm going through a tunnel. I can't hear you.
Yeah,
I'm losing the call. Well, guys, thanks everybody for listening to our Oscar thoughts this year. Please remember these are not these predictions are only for recreational purposes. Please do not base bets on them. We are not responsible if you bet on number 39 and lose everything. But thanks for joining us. I hope this year we can all enjoy not just the Oscars, but the world of cinema wherever we are, whenever we are. That's right, people in the past and future, I'm saying it to you too. And wow. Guys, before we go, what is the Flophouse food? What if the Flophouse was a food to leave people with? What would it be?
Some sort of something gooey, something real like sticky and gooey.
All right, that's so I don't know why that makes sense, but it does.
It's got to be involved somehow. What do you got?
Some kind of like it's like a big old plate of nachos. You got your beans, you got cheese, you got sliced jalapenos for the when you want a little bit of heat. You got a dollop of sour cream in case you know you aren't lactose intolerant like me.
Makes sense to me. Yeah. I was looking through some movies from this year, and there is one movie that I was now that I think about it.
Are you going to say First Cow should have been nominated?
No, because I still haven't gotten to see that, but I really want
to. Oh, it's great. It should have been nominated.
Yeah, I really want to see it. But I think that the movie Beanpole was not nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, and I thought that was a really moving and at times very painful movie. But, you know, I can't think of any foods that would go with it, so I guess I just won't talk that much. But... So Beanpole, no meal. I mean, you won't want to eat a meal. It's a depressing movie. But anyway, guys, thanks so much for joining me on this journey into time wasting. For the record, in case anyone wants to sue us for taking this time away from them, my name has been Elliot Kalin.
I've been Dan McCoy.
And I'm Stuart Wellington.
Saying good Oscarsing to ya.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.